This is an ABC podcast. On ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria,
this is the Conversation Hour.
Well, this song just makes you feel good, makes you feel happy. But Kirsten Diprose, as always, coming to us from our Warrnambool studios. This song, well, it means more to you.
Good morning, Rochelle. It does. It makes me think of dancing with my stepdad as a child. He was a musician and a very good pianist, and this song really was just his era. He played in the bands in the 60s and the 70s, and he would always get up and dance to this with my mum and I, and beautiful memories. And music also really became important for other reasons later on in his life after he was diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. So he stopped playing the piano early on when he was diagnosed with dementia. He just didn't want to play it anymore, but he always loved music. It allowed him to relax when he became confused or agitated, and it gave him a lot of joy, Rochelle. Like, yeah, he would get up and dance to it. And look, in the final months of his life when he could no longer walk or talk, music would make his fingers and toes tap and his face light up, and it gave him so much pleasure, so much joy, and music had the power to bring him back to us.
And I guess that must have been incredible, not just for you, but for your mum as well, because your mum was his carer. And for her to be able to see those moments when he came back, to see him happy, to be in the moment. When we talk about the importance of music for those that are living with dementia, it's not just the person, the individual, that has dementia, because to a certain degree, if it's someone that's close to you, we're all living with dementia, aren't we? And music and art, as we're going to learn today, it's huge. It plays a massive role.
It does. And we're not very good in our society of accommodating people who have a cognitive disability. I think we've got a growing awareness of this. But music and art, I've heard, and we will hear today other stories of where art really helps, but music has this amazing power, and particularly if it was important in their lives, it taps into an emotional, creative part of us, and we'll get more kind of understanding of this in this show from people who study this for a living. But anyone who has watched it on with someone they love can say for sure that music does something wondrous. And like you said, for my mum, who, you know, loved him and was caring for him, it gave her that peace of mind that he, you know, watching him relax, you know, gave her that ability to relax as well. And it was this beautiful moment of connection that they could have even in the final days, you know, when he really...
Joy.
Yeah, when he really no longer understood a lot of the things that were going around. She knew that he knew her voice, but by the end didn't really always know if he knew what she was saying. But music, they could enjoy that together and have a moment together. And there was this wonderful moment. Like I said, he stopped playing the piano early. And when we look back on that now, you know, maybe it was because he was so good at it. And then when he was losing that ability, that was hard for him. But when he was a sort of mid stage and they used to do these classes that he would go to, they got him a piano and he didn't want to play it, but they had some drums and he picked up the sticks and he started playing the drums and had perfect rhythm and was just perfect at it. And everyone was saying, oh my goodness, did he play the drums? And mum's like, no, never in his life. But he was a really good pianist. So it was still there. And it just amazing things like that. And I really am looking forward to hearing from you, from people at home listening, because there are so many of those wonderful moments where someone just comes out of their shell because of music or because of art.
And that's exactly what we're looking at today, how music and art helps you when you're living with dementia. So whether that is you yourself or somebody closest to you. And there are incredible advances being made in this area, as you said, Kirsten. There are even some programs which we're going to learn about today that are discovering that people that are living with dementia, thanks to music, can still gain new memories.
So is there a song or a piece of art or even a movie I want to know, what's your Johnny B. Goode song that helps you or someone you love cope with the changes and the challenges that dementia brings?
It is a song that just makes you feel good, doesn't it? It just makes you want to tap. Already text coming in. This is so touching and so emotional. That's from Sam. And it is emotional, but at the same time, it's also really uplifting because we know, I mean, the 6 degrees of dementia or Alzheimer's, it affects so many people within our community and within our own circle. And to be able to find those pockets that brings joy, that brings a power to living to every day, but also some of the incredible research that's happening in this sector. Tell us the music. Tell us your Johnny B. Goode. Anne Tudor, OAM, lost her partner Edie to early onset dementia, and she's now also an advocate for dementia awareness. And art for you and for Edie was something that was really strong and that really helped both you and Edie.
Well, yes, it certainly did. And good morning to you, Rochelle and Kirsten. In particular, Edie, because she hadn't really been involved in arts until she was diagnosed with younger onset dementia. And we had a group here, a younger onset dementia group, and they used to go to the local neighbourhood house and a support program that they had running there. And it was a special program for this group of about eight. And it was extraordinary, the effect that it had, not just on Edie, but on all of them. One of them was a pilot, and he used to draw planes all the time, but you could see on the expression on his face that it just brought joy. It just brought joy and memory. But Edie used to pack her art bag. She didn't need to take it, but she fell in love with pastels. And she used to pack this bag full of pastels and books and all sorts of things, and she'd happily go off once a week to her art class. And I get quite tearful even thinking about it, because she was happy to go to a program that lasted all day, and she was always happy to come home. But it gives such joy to the carer to see that the person with dementia is doing something that they love to do, something worthwhile, something productive. And certainly art had that. The first thing she drew was a picture using pastel of our dog, and it was extraordinary. I mean, I never knew she had any capacity for art, but she certainly did. So that was really special.
So, and she had never really shown much interest in it before, and then came out with this creativity.
Isn't that amazing?
Absolutely, absolutely. She was she did a calligraphy course. She was more interested in maths and things like that, and so she became, you know, she became this person that was just so artistic and, you know, loved listening to music. And in fact, if I can mention my favourite song that with Edie is Love Lifts Us Up Where We Belong, you know, the Joe Crocker song.
Yeah.
Because one of the things she came home with one day was this picture that she put together, and it had graphics, it had the words to the song, it had eagles on it. But in the middle of it, it had a photo of Edie and I. And she writes under with hearts all over it. And Love Lifts Us Up Where We Belong. So I'm looking at it now. And, just beautiful, beautiful memories when people are given the opportunity.
Oh, so you've got it in front of you now. How long has it been since you've taken a look at that?
Oh, well, actually, it's up all the time.
Okay.
And Edie wanted the shed to be converted into an art place for her, which I did. And so she has this board up on the wall, and I've got, you know, well, she put them up there and they'll never come down.
Isn't it incredible? I think that the first word that sprung to my mind, and I know it's a word that you've used multiple times already this morning, Anne, is joy. And joy is probably not a word when you sit down with and you're given a diagnosis of dementia, or if you're living with the day-to-day impacts and challenges of dementia. I'm pretty sure joy is not a word that comes up a lot. But yet when we're talking about how we can use art and music, it is joyful. It must help you as well.
Oh, there is no doubt. And this is where the support is most needed, to enable people to get in touch with memory. And also they can learn new things. There is no doubt about that. And, you know, I can say categorically without a shadow of doubt that there were moments of joy right to the very end. Right to the very end.
It must also give a sense of purpose, Anne, to not just Edie, but to you, knowing that someone has a sense of purpose. I think we focus so much on what people lose that we don't see what they gain sometimes as well, and that the person, while they've changed, they still have so much to offer.
Look, and the people who are involved in running the programs, you know, they're precious. They really are precious because they treat each person as their own special person. They treat each personality as who they are. And they don't lose their personality when they're diagnosed with a condition like dementia. They don't lose any of those parts of themselves that make up who they are as people. And what I saw with the art program that was running was this really lovely, gentle person who was very talented, very creative, well qualified as an art teacher. And she gave special time to each person. And they interacted with each other, but they were often so concentrating on what they were doing and making themselves something meaningful each session that they could take home. Yeah, really.
And a lovely story. Thank you so much for sharing with us your wonderful partner, Edie, and her journey through dementia.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Anne Tudor there, OAM, who's an advocate for dementia awareness.
This is her song. This is the one she was talking about. Let's have a listen.
Who knows what tomorrow brings? In a world few hearts survive.
Oh, even the hardest, that will bring tears to the eyes of absolutely anyone. Isn't it incredible? All of the texts that are coming in. Rochelle, we visited my late brother-in-law in his nursing home on a day there was a concert happening. He was so happy conducting them with his hands. He had severe dementia. Again, it was a joy to see. That's from Judy. And another saying, I was in charge of 60 residents, most with severe dementia. I didn't know their name or their family or where they were. However, if an old song was played, they would come alive and they would sing all of those lyrics so accurately.
Yeah, I used to come to the Friday afternoon parties at the aged care facility, and they'd put on the old songs. And if you're allowed to have a half a glass of beer, then you were. If you've got dementia, you generally aren't able to drink. But there was a mixture of people with dementia and people who didn't have it. And everyone would get up and start dancing. And it was a great equaliser. It's sort of like whatever capacity you could enjoy it, everyone was enjoying it. And as Anne mentioned, the amazing people who work at these facilities would run these great days. They'd have people come in, like people would come and play to them and just have a wonderful time with carers and, you know, people in the facility. Ingrid is in Dandenong. Hi, Ingrid.
Hello. I just was listening to your talk, and I was trying to look back. My mum died last year. She was 99, and she had really bad dementia. And before, you know, we used to be in there all the time, but she loved the Strauss music because we come from Vienna and we love Strauss. And she always, when I came in there and I put the music on, her face lit up, and she was a different person. And when she was just about to go, they told us, you come in because your mum is not going to last much longer. We put the Strauss on, and, you know, she just drifted away like she was in heaven with the music.
Here's a little bit of it now.
Oh, look.
It plays such an important role. Ingrid, thank you for your story. I mean, there's a text here, because we mentioned the word joy, but, you know, there's a text here from Lorraine who says, look, I hate to be a wet blanket, but there's been no joy with the journey of my husband's dementia. It started in 2008 when he had to leave work at the age of just 57. He's now been in full-time care for 3 years. He's not known any of his family for 2 years. And Lorraine, we know that that's the reality, Kirsten, isn't it, of dementia? And I guess when we're talking about joy, we're talking about these pockets that art and music can bring and how they're even more important, because you do need that strength and you need those things to help you go through it, because it is hard, and it's hard for everyone, and it can be, and it's long. We know that dementia is often a really, really long illness to live with.
Yeah, there's no denying that dementia is really difficult. My father was quite young. He would have been in his early 60s when it started, and it went for more than 10 years before he died. And, you know, it robbed my parents of that lovely time. Like, my mum ended up retiring early to care for him. So they didn't get those retirement years where they were meant to be travelling around and just enjoying life. So it's cruel. There's no denying that. And I know that there are often behaviours associated with dementia. Fortunately, with John, he didn't really have too many behaviours. He certainly would get confused and he would get quite anxious, and you'd have to calm him down if he didn't know where he was. But I know that, you know, there are people with dementia who become really paranoid, and that's really, or aggressive. Some can be hypersexualized. There are some really tricky behaviors, but this show is really about the power of music and art
to help with that. Yeah,
to help with that, and to help the person with dementia and the person caring and loving them.
This text: as a community health nurse in the 1980s, I ran a day centre one day a week for people with dementia, and I had a number of volunteers with food preparation and activities. We picked the people up in a community bus. The day consisted of painting, singing, dancing, a hot lunch. The bus driver was also an accomplished piano player. The happy, relaxed faces of the participants. And the bus going home was so satisfying, not just for them, but for their carers as well. I've studied the application of arts in therapy. That's from Joe. Well, I guess that leads us into our next guest, who's really been looking into that as well. And that's Professor Felicity Becker. She's Associate Dean for the Faculty of Arts and Music and the Director of International Research Partnerships for the Creative Arts Music Therapy Research Unit. That's quite the title. Felicity, the importance, I guess, and some of the incredible work and advances that are being done in the sector of music and dementia. It's incredible, isn't it?
It is, and I've just been listening to the conversations you've been having with guests and people calling in, and it's, you know, these are certainly experiences that, you know, I've seen time and time again happening in my 30 years now as a music therapist, and the last 20 years researching it. So there is really an increasing amount of evidence to show the impact of music in particular on supporting people with dementia and supporting carers, both professional and family carers.
Felicity, I wanted to ask you about a program that's pretty exciting because it's being run out of Australia, but it's a global program that is involving carers more in the music therapy conversation.
Absolutely. So it's called Homeside. And we're actually almost on the last leg of our journey now. We've only got a couple of months left to start recruiting, to finish recruiting people, and then we are winding our trial up. And the idea behind it is that we teach family carers how to use music and how to use reading in very intentional and mindful ways. So not just putting on any piece of music, but thinking about what music, when to put it on, what music is best used in the morning, what music is used best trying to settle someone at night, and also around, you know, how to use it as a way of regulating these challenging behaviours that I heard you just mentioning before, as well as using music to support the maintenance of a meaningful relationship between the carer and the person with dementia, because they often... Families often talk about the fact that they lose the person that they recognise, that they used to recognise and who used to respond to things, and all of a sudden, you know, they even sometimes forget their partner's name, and that loss of recognition is really devastating for families. And music has this really amazing capacity to stimulate this autobiographical recall, the memories that come back. So this is... And our research in care homes that we just finished also really found that music was quite significant in reducing depression in particular in people with dementia, which is getting a bit of traction now in the news, that people are starting to understand the impact of depression as well as dementia on
I guess it just shows the emotion that music can release in us. Felicity, stay with us. Let's have a chat to Alana, who's called it from Locke. Hi, Alana.
Yeah, good morning, Michelle. Thanks for taking my call. Yes, my mother was in a facility for nearly 11 years. She played piano there. Then I started to play piano there as well and had to learn a whole new a lot of songs because what they liked was different to what I had usually played. So be it, I did. The night that she died, I had a call from the facility to say she was dying. So the Greyhound and I set off to see her. And as a musician, she loved and played the music of Ella Fitzgerald. So I loaded my phone with the music of Ella Fitzgerald. And when I got there, the Greyhound settled down on a blanket on the floor. And Mom and I sang, if you can call it singing, I don't know. But her last hours were filled with Ella Fitzgerald. I hoped that she went out with a big smile in her heart.
Such a beautiful story. Well, I know I was told from one of the nurses nursing my mum when she passed away that the hearing is the last thing to go. So she would have heard that song. So you know. Over me. Professor Felicity Backer is with you as well. This text, Rish and Kirsten, Christmas 2020. I was in hospital. In a room beside me was a warm woman with dementia. She would yell out in her confused state for hours on end. The nursing staff mid-COVID were under the pump and didn't have a lot of time to try and talk her down, and there was no one available. I would hear what she was yelling to them, where she was born, that she needed to get out so that she could help the local dance. I took a punt and I started playing some Patsy Cline on my phone. I propped up the phone against the door. Mid-yelling, she slowly calmed. She quietly sang to herself and then fell asleep. The staff were amazed. I knew that music with dementia, but witnessing it myself was incredible. She was in an unknown place with new shifts, unknown people busily moving around her. She must have been so scared, but for a few moments, Patsy Cline soothed her soul. That's from Denise. And Denise, that intuition that you used is incredible. Felicity, hearing stories like that, it's quite amazing, isn't it?
Absolutely, but you know, there's a lot of scientific evidence to show why that happens as well. So there's this idea of regulation through music, where when you tap into someone's emotions and when they recognize something, that they're immediately distracted from their preoccupation with, for example, whatever it is that's causing them distress, but also they're able to then sort of take on the energy of that music, and it helps to calm them. So this is not an unsurprising experience to hear those kind of stories.
On the SMS, my mother wouldn't have known night from day or hot from cold, and the only way I could make any connection with her was to sing Danny Boy. She knew all the words. I think that's beautiful. Another SMS, my beautiful second cousin suffers from dementia. He was an amazing music teacher and very talented himself. He is now non-verbal. Play music and he comes alive. Sing to him and hit a wrong note, the music teacher in him comes out, hands indicating if you need to be higher or lower. Thank you very much for those SMSs. That's amazing to hear. I understand, Felicity, that there is AI technology being used to help people with dementia utilize music in a way we haven't even thought of, like so not just for those joy moments, but for other ways that can help them.
Yes, I can talk to you about that. So we have another project called MATCH, which stands for Music Attuned Technology for Care via eHealth, and it's drawing on this home side project that I just mentioned. I explained that we teach family carers how to use music as a way of regulating and attuning, or sort of tuning in to their loved one's state. And what we're trying to do with our MATCH project is to actually get technology to, in a sense, mimic that experience of a person singing to someone and adapting the way they sing. So if I can just kind of use a really practical example, I know that one example I have is I worked with a man who was quite agitated, and he really liked the song Crocodile Rock. by Elton John. And when I first started working with him and when he was really agitated, I would start singing, I remember when Ruck was young, me and Susie had so much fun. And then as we went on, I would adapt the way I'd sing so that I'd slow it down. So then it was ended up sort of sounding, I remember when Ruck was young. And he was able to kind of calm down by following my change in the way I use my voice and the way that I sang and the tempo. So now with our AI technology, we're trying to mimic that concept by getting our mobile app to adapt the music in real time to match the agitation level of people with dementia. So if they're pacing around the room at a certain tempo, the app will pick that up using sensor technology, match the music, which is why we call it match the music to their tempo and their level of agitation, and then in real time adapt that music to regulate them.
That's fantastic. That's an amazing use of technology. Felicity, before we let you go, I wanted you to tell us about Homeside. If anyone's listening and wants to be part of it, because you're actually looking for people to take part in the project, aren't you?
We are. Thank you so much for raising that again. Yes, it's called Homeside. And if for people who are caring for someone at home with dementia who might be interested in participating, it's free, of course. If they just type into Google Homeside Australia, they should automatically be taken to our website where they can register to participate. And we are, as I said earlier, on the sort of final stages of wrapping up this project. And by the time we've finished, we'll have almost 500 carers and 500 people with dementia across five countries who will have participated. So we're really hoping to find some really good results from this. So please, if you know someone or if you are a carer yourself, we really encourage you to come forward and participate. It's Australia-wide. It's all online. No need to go anywhere.
Wonderful. Felicity, thank you so much for joining us. I think we've all learnt so much.
Thank you so much.
Professor Felicity Baker there, Associate Dean of Research for the Faculty of Fine Arts and Music and Director, International Research Partnerships for the Creative Arts and Music Therapy Research Unit. It's great, Rochelle, that this is being looked at from so many different angles. You know, anecdotally, we know that it's powerful, but to kind of have it written out and that you can learn new things. You know, when I was talking to Felicity earlier, she told me that she would teach people a new line in a song, people with dementia, and she'd see them the next week and they would remember that line of the song. It's possible to learn new things when you have dementia.
And the fact that Australia is leading in this space, so often we are looking to other countries to gain knowledge or to maybe follow in a practice that they're already starting. The fact that we are leading in this is so great. And even when she spoke about just slowing down Crocodile Rock, it makes such sense, doesn't it? It's almost like how you would soothe a child to a certain degree. And I don't mean that with any disrespect whatsoever, but just those basic ways of finding a practical way to calm someone in a moment when you feel like it's all getting out of control.
And that actually happens when you're in a choir, you attune to each other. The same sort of thing that works when you sing with a group of people is what they're tapping into there. And so choirs are actually really important. And I just learned about one while researching this. There's a dementia choir in Ballarat that is becoming very popular. And it's run by a neurologist whose brother is a conductor, and she's kind of put two and two together and started a choir.
Isn't that great? Thank you for these wonderful stories. I'm just about to go in and see my mum for her 87th birthday. She's in care with dementia, and my sister Fran has planted a garden for her to tend to. I have a few plants to add to her collection. A wonderful activity to care for, to renew and to enjoy together. It may take some time, but don't be discouraged. Find what gives you those moments of joy and those simple enjoyment together, like what we would go through in our lives. Find a way to show love for one another. That's all the best. That's from Terry in Northcote. Well, Terry, we wish your mum a very happy 87th birthday. But we're looking at finding those moments of joy and how it can come from music and from visual art as well. There's a lot of work that's being done in the visual art sector. We'll learn about that. But maybe there's a song, maybe there's a piece of art, maybe there's a film that is helping you or someone you love with all of the challenges that dementia brings.
But if you don't know me, who am I? And if you
That's Josh Pike's song, If You Don't Know Me, Who Am I? And Josh, a warm welcome to The Conversation Hour. We've been talking about the importance of music and art, not just for those that are living with dementia, but for those that love the people that are living with dementia. And I guess this is probably one of the first times where you've spoken openly about why and how you wrote this song for your mum.
Yeah, it's been a tough one to sort of speak openly about it, which is why I tend to put these things into songs. My mum has pretty severe Alzheimer's, and that song that we just heard a snippet of is definitely about that process of sort of grieving somebody that's still very much there.
Josh, it's wonderful to have you on the program, and we've heard from people whose partner has gone through dementia and how difficult that is. I think it's good to hear from you as a child of someone watching your mum, you know, who's the person who looked after you, and now you're having to look after her. How do you navigate that?
Oh, it's incredibly difficult. I mean, I don't really even know how to answer that, to be honest. It's just a step-by-step process that I'm sure anybody else in this experience will say. It's, you know, you get to a point where you're a point of acceptance, I guess, in the situation, and then you know, mum's condition will change, and so you have to reframe that relationship and reframe that illness again. And it's just a process. There's no easy way to deal with it. It's just a process of sort of acceptance and then moving with it, and then accepting the next thing as it goes.
Have you played it to her, Josh?
My dad has, and you know, music is still something that, I heard a bit of this conversation before I came on air, and music is certainly something that she still really engages in. It's pretty amazing, I've got to say. Like, you know, she doesn't know who I am or know my name or anything, but if I play a song like that we used to sing when we were kids, like there's a song called it's like the Red Red Robin. We used to sing that when we were little kids doing the washing up, and if I play that to her, she'll still completely, I don't know, she seems to know the song and sort of tap along or hum along. So it's pretty extraordinary, the connection, the deep, deep connection that music has with people, sort of, you know, no matter the state of their mind.
And the two of you have always had a deep connection, because she was always really instrumental in giving you the courage and the strength and the permission, I guess, as a parent to go and become a musician, which not a lot of parents are always that supportive. So you've always had this wonderful understanding of the importance of music together.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Mum was a musician. She was a fantastic piano player and singer. She was definitely the one when I was, I think, 12, and there was an opportunity to join a rock band at my school, and I had said no initially, and she was the one that definitely, you know, encouraged me to give it a try, and that honestly changed the whole trajectory of my life. I was just hooked from that one gig onwards, and she was always, you know, the one that was saying, when times were tough and I, you know, wasn't sort of going the way I wanted, she was always like, just, you know, give it one more year. So yeah, absolutely, she was seminal in my career, you know, pursuing my career in music.
I imagine, being a musician herself, she just understood that, you know, music is part of you. If you can't just turn your back on it, and it would be denying a part of yourself if she did, and that's must have been where it came from. Tell me about how you're using music now, and you've written this song to try and explain the unexplainable, you know, watching someone change, someone you love and you know, it's really a difficult thing for anyone to process. How can music help, and how does it help you?
Well, I can only speak for myself, but, you know, for me, the process of actually writing music has always been the way that I process, you know, difficult topics in my life, and this is no different. But it's been lovely, the response, you know, that I've had from lots of punters, lots of supporters of my music that really relate to, you know, a couple of these songs in particular that are clearly about this issue. And so, you know, whilst it's a very personal story for me, it seems like it's more universal, which is, you know, both sad to know that there are so many people going through this, but also, you know, really beautiful to know that we can all connect and maybe find some comfort together through music. And I mean, the power of music is, it's never been more evident than since sort of, you know, explaining what the song is about.
And how many times have we all needed music to help us through moments, to either try and navigate ourselves, to give ourselves strength, or to try and understand something? And not only is it hopefully helping you and your mum as well, but it's helping thousands of people as they listen to it, as they try and navigate their way through dementia. Josh, it's been wonderful speaking with you. Thanks so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
It's Josh Pike, and this is his song. It's all written about his mum. If you don't know me, who am I?
Kirsten Diprose here, coming to you from Warrnambool, and Rochelle Hunt, of course, in Melbourne. You know, Josh mentioned about his mum no longer recognising him, which I think is a really difficult moment for anyone who has experienced dementia, to have their loved one look at them like they're just another person.
Yeah.
And the first time that happens is really difficult. And when you know that they no longer know you, and you've only got music, or perhaps for some it's art, then you really do lean on that in those final moments, because it's a big shift when you realise they don't know you anymore.
And how many times in life when we're going through something that can't be explained, where you don't have the words and there is no explanation, and sometimes there's nothing to say, you know, even if you're someone that's normally incredible with words, and that's where music and art, that's where they really shine. That's what they're there for. They help us through those times, and they give us the words, don't they? Or you don't need to say anything. You can just sit and be, and it helps. And I remember years ago out doing another story and vox popping people about what they were doing for the day. And I bumped into this gentleman out the front of the National Gallery of Victoria, and I said, oh, what are you doing? And he said, I'm about to go in. For years now, I've been a tour guide for those and the carers that are living with dementia, to take them through the art gallery, and to take them to different sections of the gallery. And what he witnessed over the years, the memories coming back, and the strength that it gave the carers as well, because they would see them. They would see the people that they love come back to life or remember something. And this is now a process that's being used all around the country. Michelle Heldon is from the Museum of Contemporary Art, Artful Art and Dementia program. Michelle, this is an incredible program that I know lots of galleries and local galleries are now using almost as a blueprint. We've spoken a lot about music, but how can visual art help carers and those that are living with dementia?
Hi. Yeah, it's been such a privilege and a joy, you know, working on the Artful Art and Dementia program at the Museum of Contemporary Art. And these are words that aren't often connected with dementia. But I get the incredible joy of being able to see people have a voice, you know, and be able to share their story and connect through art. You know, you mentioned just then that you know, dementia can take so much away from someone and from their family and from their loved ones, and the creative arts, music and the visual arts can give something back to them. You know, there doesn't have to be a right way to do anything. They can just express themselves through, you know, connecting, whether that's through paint or through play, through connecting with art that they see. It's really amazing that there doesn't seem to be any boundaries when connecting creatively, whereas I think sometimes, you know, people living with dementia and their carers have so many kind of boundaries and restrictions.
I think that's a really interesting point. It can be really stressful for both someone with dementia and their carer just to navigate normal situations in life, because they don't know where they're going sometimes. You know, just getting out of the car in a car park and walking into the shops is really stressful. You know, I know my mother became quite stressed at trying to, just do some basic tasks with my dad, because she had to have him with her, or if she left him somewhere, she was worried that he would wander off. But to be in a space where there's no stress or pressure about saying or doing the wrong thing and just being creative must be an immense relief.
Yes. Yeah, and I think, the Museum of Contemporary Art are really proud to pride themselves in creating a really safe place, a place that they do feel welcome and feel included. Many people have shared that, you know, museums or galleries can sometimes be cold places, but coming to a place that's been set up for you with warmth, with acceptance, with other people that are experiencing what you're going through as well. But being able to connect really in a creative way with artwork, that can be a doorway for you and can be a point of connection, which I think is just so important and so needed for people.
So you've actually worked in this sector looking at art as a form of therapy for a long time, and within this sector, you know, it's been about 15 years, but this program has been running for a long time. Have you seen huge progression and more people accept it as something that does really help?
Yes. Over the time, more and more it's becoming an accepted something that people feel more comfortable with, I guess, connecting with. You know, the art and the health sector are starting to merge a lot more. Definitely in terms of having those conversations and connecting with people, more and more people are feeling more willing to just think outside the box a bit about different ways and new ways to connect. And I think something that's been so exciting for me, particularly through, you know, what we've been experiencing over the last few years with the COVID pandemic, that, you know, the people that are living with dementia and families that are already kind of isolated and have become more isolated are just, you know, desperate and trying to find new ways, to connect. So they're thinking outside the box. So I've had people reach in and connect with me. We've converted, and some of many other galleries, but the Museum of Contemporary Art have converted our programs to being online or having resources that are sent to the homes of people. And some of those activities that we do, where we might link to an artwork allow people to express themselves creatively, that can be translated now into their everyday life, and they're starting to notice creativity around them in their home, in their everyday, and that's opening up possibilities for them to, you know, find new ways for their loved one to connect, or find new ways for them to connect back with themselves.
Michelle, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
Michelle Heldon there from the Museum of Contemporary Art and Dementia Program. Let's bring in Heidi Irvine, because she's from the Frankston Arts Centre, head of programming there with the Artful Art and Dementia Program, which is in fact based on that program we just heard about from the Museum of Contemporary Art. Hi, Heidi.
Hello, ladies. How are you?
Great, thank you. It's amazing to hear the power. And just talking about connection that Michelle was raising, I think one word we haven't actually raised in this whole nearly an hour that we've been talking about it is the social connection.
Yes.
And where that comes into it with art. Can you maybe speak to that, Heidi?
Sure. So obviously at the Art Centre here in Frankston, we have a whole range of different programs we run, right from people coming along to see a show through to public participation programs. And I think that for a community, being able to access spaces and find other people who have like interests and connect is such an important thing. And especially as you're aging and getting older, finding spaces where you connect with people, it's a really big and important part of lifestyle, and making sure that your mind stays active, your body stays active. And, you know, we're really great, I think, Australians generally, at finding spaces through physical activity. Gyms and a lot of those sorts of sporting activities do have those places, but I think that there's a real opening and possibility, like Michelle was talking about with you just previously, where we're thinking a bit differently and outside the square about what other ways can we connect and interact.
And I love how the art community works to the point where, you know, the Museum of Contemporary Art in Sydney has been running something for a while. You can then take that blueprint and run it here locally, you know, in the suburbs of Melbourne, in Frankston. And dementia and Alzheimer's, it's something that affects all of us. And, you know, you've even got a personal connection to this as well, Heidi, don't you?
Indeed, yeah. So my grandfather was diagnosed with Alzheimer's in the late stages of his life. So seeing him go through that, it was a very short time, but it's incredibly isolating. And he went into an aged care facility quite quickly, and the diagnosis was quite close to his end of life. But I just think if you are in those spaces or in an environment where you can have opportunities to continue to find joy and ways of connection, I just, you know, it's incredibly valuable. And I think for anyone in those situations, it's a lot to deal with, particularly for a carer too. So
100%. Well, it's wonderful that you've taken that initiative, and I know that these classes will be starting in October, so a little later in the year, but people can jump onto the Frankston Arts Centre's website if they want some more information or they want to be a part of it. Heidi Irvine, thanks so much for your time.
Wonderful to talk to you. Thank you so much.
And as I said, you know, it's happening later. It's not till October, so it gives you plenty of time to get your head around it, sign up, maybe speak to other family members. That's something that you want to do. Let's get to some calls. I've been waiting so patiently. Josephine, welcome.
Hi. I'm in an aged care facility, and I found the activities are fabulous mostly. But when my mum was in, they had a program called With One Voice would come out each week, and we'd have a singing group. And that was so beneficial for my mum, who was banned from the choir when she was a kid because she was giggling or something awful. And I felt as though I paid back her not being able to sing in her early years in the choir. And she enjoyed the activity each week. We had a chap come out or whoever and played, and we had a lady come out and they played the guitar or whatever, and we sang the Seekers songs and all sorts of fabulous old songs that were, you know, really, really lovely.
Wonderful.
And cheered up all the residents.
Good on you. Thank you so much, Josephine. Wonderful.
Thanks for the program.
Good on you. The Seekers.
Lindsay's in Hawthorne. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Look, my story is similar to other people's. I have a very dear friend I went through uni with, met him on my first day at uni, which was 50 years ago. He was diagnosed with dementia about 5 years ago. And certainly during COVID, it was great to be able to take him out for a walk and a coffee, just to give his lovely wife a bit of a break. But in more recent times, we've driven somewhere, and as soon as you put some music on in the car, especially from our youth, so 60s music, 70s music, you know, the Stones, Beatles, Cold Chisel, Daddy Cool. He's got a great voice, and he sings these songs word perfectly, absolutely perfectly. It's quite extraordinary.
It's wonderful. And Lindsay, did it feel like you kind of, for that moment, you had your old mate back, and, you know, you're in the car and you're travelling and you were sharing those experiences together?
Oh, well, look, we luckily both can, you know, hold a tune, so we're singing along it's just lovely. He's holding me in a chain. Really great.
Wonderful. Thank you for your call, Lindsay. Monica's in Hyatt. Hi, Monica.
G'day. How are you?
Well, what did you want to say?
Oh, look, thank you for the program that you've put together for today. I'm one of the founders of Music and the Brain Foundation, which is a community-based, it's a registered charity. None of us are paid. We're all volunteers. Our foundation was founded in 2014, not to do research, but to take the findings of research that's been done all over the world and give it application at a community level.
And yeah, Monica, I think I'm pretty sure that my mum and my stepdad tapped into Music and the Brain Foundation and, really benefited from it. It's great that you're getting it out to the suburbs and the country towns.
Well, thank you. Since 2014, our foundation has distributed over 10,000 headphones into private homes and registered aged care facilities. With so that people who otherwise would have been handed antipsychotic drugs are actually being handed their own music.
And so that's called Music in the Brain Foundation. So if that's something that you want to reach out to and you want to look up and maybe get some more information on, let's have a quick chat to Elizabeth. We'll end with who's in Springvale. Elizabeth, welcome.
Oh, hello, everybody. I just want to say that in 1984, when I was 1986, sorry, when I was starting a job at a retirement village in the office, my boss took me to a seminar. I'll never forget what the man out the front was saying. He said, "Don't ever forget that if someone comes into your office and asks you or tells you the same thing seven times in that morning, that for that person, that is the first time they've thought that day."
That's right. And it's just having respect, having time and having patience. Good on you, Elizabeth. Thank you. Kirsten Diprose, this program today started because you wanted to share the story of your stepdad, John, and it just shows how many other people have connected with this. You know, the role and the importance of music, mate, you can't underestimate it, really, can you? And even if it's just those little moments, those little glimmers, whether it be for John or whether it be for your mum or for all of the people that called, it helps.
And like you mentioned, it's about respect and finding a way to connect. And I think this is a beautiful way to end the program with a bit of Chuck Berry and Johnny Be Good. And thank you to everyone who called up and participated in such a conversation that means so much to me and to my family. And I do hope that we can use music and use art or whatever works to find and reach those people that we love, because everyone still has worth right until their final moments.